Hey everybody, Cody Strait here, and welcome to this episode of the Updraft, part of the Upward Spiral podcast. Now, this episode is all about my good friend Davin and how he is approaching rather significant back surgery, having multiple vertebrae fused together. And so what we really get into here in this episode is mindset and an action-oriented mindset and choosing specifically to be the victor and to not be the victim. And Davin discusses his approach to this as he is approaching a very significant surgery. Hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you so very much. 3, 2, 1. There we go. We're recording audio now, and we'll see if we can make this thing work. So you want me to present you with a topic first, or do you want to present
me with the topic? Yeah, you hit me with the first one.
All right. That sounds good. So, all right, Davin Marceau, welcome to what is now episode 5 of the Updraft. I am glad to be here with you. How are you doing?
Cody Strait, buddy. I'm well. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Can't wait to get at this here with you. And so for those of you just joining us here, the Updraft is something that we're doing here with the Upward Spiral podcast, where we are taking what Davin and I usually talk about over the span of 45 minutes to an hour, and we are compressing it down into 20 minutes while still maintaining an organic conversation. And it's organic because in this episode, I'm going to present Davin with a topic, and you don't know what that topic is, so it's fun because the audience sees you and hears you either rise to the occasion or fall to your standard, right?
Just flat on my face.
Right. So in either case, though, it's going to be a fun trip. So I'm going to present you with the topic, and we are then going to, I'm doing this right now, we're going to set a 20-minute timer. And we're going to go at this. Anything else you want to say before we get going here?
No, man. I'm just so happy to be here violently bringing content to our listeners.
Right. And to be clear, I asked Davin the first time while we were talking about the Updraft a few episodes ago. And I was like, tell the audience what the Updraft is and about. And he's like, oh, it's where we take the Upward Spiral and what it's all about and bringing it out forth in a short little time frame. It's a very violent experience of, it's like, all right, that is one way to explain it, but it's you though. It's the, how you explain it. It is an absolute violent upwards progression of movement that you get to shove down people's throats. I think, is that more or less how you would phrase it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it reminds me of a story. I actually played my last round of golf yesterday that I'll play for some time, on the eve of my back fusion. And one of the guys that I was with had never played golf before. And he said, eloquently stated, that I swing at the ball like I'm angry at it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right. And that's what I told him. I said, have you met me? Like, I golf like I bowl, like I love, like I fight, like I ski, like I do anything and everything in the world violently, decisively, and not necessarily angrily, but certainly with the outward presentation as though I'm upset. It's just the way that I live life, man.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if there's ever been a number two pencil that has survived your application of it on a piece of paper, right? And I for the audience, I can also attest to this, that Davin, watching him bowl, he could be in the most jovial of attitudes, and you put a bowling ball in his hand and he throws one time down the lane, and you want to like check him. You want to be like, hey man, you okay? Everything okay in life? I mean, because the violence at which he throws that ball, and also you go to a dark place. Like, but here's my question though. Can you do that with cornhole, throwing bags?
Yeah, I throw cornhole pretty regularly. I don't know what finesse looks like. It's just varying levels of violence. I mean, you've played cornhole with me. It's not who I am. And if I were to do anything that way, you wouldn't know who I was.
No, that's true. You definitely live life like a hammer. You don't use a scalpel, you swing an axe. That is for sure. But speaking of scalpels, Davin, let's get into today's topic. How do you like the transition? You can see where I'm going with this, right?
I love it. Let's do it.
All right. So here's what I want you to talk about. Okay. You are at the point where talking to you tomorrow would be a very different situation, be a very different story, because tomorrow morning you are going to present yourself into a hospital where you are going to undergo a not insignificant procedure relative to your spine. Like if you would just lay it out there to the audience, what are you getting done to you tomorrow?
So I am having L4, L5 and L5 S1 fusions done on my back tomorrow. And they're doing another little procedure on the disc, I think L3, L4. So they're going to, first thing they're going to do is obviously knock me out, thank goodness, and open up my abdomen, make about an 8 to 10 inch incision in my abdomen, you know, move my six pack out of the way.
if they can, that's the challenge one, right?
Right. Yeah. They're going to need multiple scalpels to do that and likely a jackhammer, but I digress a little bit. And then the doctor's going to come in. There's a couple of fractures in there too. And so he's going to fix the fractures. They're going to put like a bit of a cage, as it were, on the front of the, on the front. And then once that's done, they'll sew me up, flip me over, open up my back and kind of do the same thing from the back. It's called a 360 fusion. Not an insignificant surgery for sure, you know, but it's one that part of the perils of doing what I did for so long. Right. You know, people have asked me 100 times, am I nervous? Am I anxious? Am I scared? And the answer is no. You know, I've been living in this kind of nebulous pain environment without an end on the horizon for some time now. But now I know that, hey, starting tomorrow, it's recovery pain, and I can get down on some recovery pain, man. That's why I have a mindset that I do, and that's why they make the narcotics that they do. And the combination of those two is going to put me on the road to recovery, brother.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the explanation there. Of course, you know, I know most people are pulling for you, and then the other people are Toby Keith. So with that being said, let's get at this here, because the topic is, again, you've got this thing right in front of you. And what I want you to talk about, and you already mentioned it, it's mindset, because there's a whole lot in front of you, a whole lot to swallow, a whole lot to think about. Again, this is not insignificant. As far as I'm concerned, anytime you go in, for general anesthesia, it's a big deal, right? But what I really want you to talk about is choice. Okay. That's what I want to hear you talk about, because you are about to face something significant. And you talk about mindset, but I want you to talk about the aspect of choice in that. So with that being said, I'm hitting the start on my timer. 20 minutes starts now.
Yeah. So quick little context into this. And I love that you brought up this topic, because it's something that I've been working on myself, something I've been working on with my therapist since I've found out about this procedure coming up. So, you know, I've been, you know, I'm like you, Cody, you know, I put a lot of attention into, you know, my physical wellness, my well-being. And you know, I've done this fitness challenge with a handful of friends of mine. Listeners have heard me talk about it before. So, you know, I really, as far as physical condition goes, I'm in the best shape of my adult life. You know, I'm hovering somewhere in the, you know, 13s body fat. You know, for a guy that's 6 foot, 230 pounds, it's a very respectable number, right? So you look good, you feel good, you look good. But I've been having this underlying back condition for some time now, and this goes all the way back to 2014. And it's been a wreck from, you know, again, the perils of being a ranger for so long. And, you know, but it's suffering silence. My pain is not somebody else's problem. But it got to the point, Cody, where I couldn't do it anymore. And it wasn't the back pain, man. It was the nerve pain down my right leg. It was to the point where it was excruciatingly painful. Called up a friend of mine, orthopedic surgeon. You know, he got me an MRI literally the next day, got me to a pain management the day after that, and then a close friend, spine surgeon, friend of his the day after that. And I walk into the spine surgeon, have a conversation that lasts about 2 minutes long. He doesn't even present me any other options than surgical intervention, because of the fractures, because of the discs, because of the compression. I mean, it's a proper train wreck in there, right? So in that moment, Cody, begins the ability for me to make my first choice and how I'm going to approach this situation. Because again, imagine the juxtaposition of being in fantastic physical condition, muscular, cardiovascular, whatever, and having, in their words, the back of a 70-year-old man. Mm-hmm. So wait a minute. I'm in great shape. How can this be? And those little fractures start to set in, those little fractures in your mindset of, what's going to happen to me on the tail end of the surgery? How can I be successful? How can I be happy? How can I be, you know, anything if I lose my current physical condition? So again, and I think we're going to talk about this throughout this little talk, but it's victor versus victim mentality. And it's so easy to default to the victim. Man, this sucks. You know, my back's messed up. It's going to change me forever. You know, nobody's going to love me. You know, I'll just go eat some worms, right? And I downplay it a little bit, but you go through that series of decisions about victor versus victim mentality. I bet I've been through it 1,000 times, Cody, literally 1,000 times since I found out that the surgery was on the horizon. You know, from laying in bed at night to when I can't sleep and my nerve pain, and I'm curled up in the fetal position on the couch trying to find some reprieve from the pain, to, you know, to working out when my back starts to hurt, from, you know, from work when, you know, like I'm in, my back hurts and it's hard to make, to the point where it's hard to make decisions, to, do I take narcotics, to, you know, you go through this iterative process of, do I want to be the victor or do I want to be the victim? And it's all about choice. Just like everything else in life, it's all about choice.
Well, and so there's a lot that you've put out there and I appreciate that. So, you know, number one, like you talked about that you see a therapist, which is a whole thing that we should talk about at some point in time, because we talked about this a little while back, about the whole aspect of I'm fine, right? Like as men, we oftentimes say I'm fine, whether we're talking about physical pain or emotional pain, I'm fine. But let's say that for another time though. Okay. And you talk about, you know, it's my pain. You talked about the nerve pain, victor versus victim. But my question to you is, and I agree with you, it's very easy to take the role of victim. But my question to you is, do you think most people understand and appreciate that there is actually a choice to be had? Or do you think that that is taken for granted and that people don't recognize that they have a choice and that they can choose a different perspective or a different attitude? So let's just start there. Before you can talk to people about, you know, hey, here's how choice factors into it, do you believe that most people understand that they have a choice to this?
I can't even identify with people who wouldn't believe that there's a choice. You know, so it's hard for me to speak to. Like, look, I'm sure that there's people due to upbringing or just mentality or whatever it is that think that they don't have a choice, that they have to default to the victim. And look, if you're out there, I respect you, but I can't identify with you.
Right. Well, but see, there's a choice to be the victim though for those people. What I'm talking about is not so much that. What I'm talking about is, are there some people out there that this is, do you think it's commonplace for people to recognize that they have a choice, or do you think that it's not? So start there. Do you think they even know that they have a choice?
Yeah, I would say that the fact that life boils down to just a series of choices, I have a hard time believing that somebody wouldn't come up with more than one option and realize that they do in fact have a choice and a fork in the road. You know, our lives are predicated and driven by series of choices. So in this type of situation, you know, we're talking about a physical ailment. Again, I couldn't imagine that somebody would believe that they wouldn't have a choice.
Right. Well, so let's go forward with that then. People have a choice, but why is it that the siren song of the victim is so appealing? Why
because
is that?
Easy.
Open that up a little bit. Why do you say that it's easy?
You know, taking the hard path, and you and I talked about this early on in the podcast, that's where the growth comes, right? But there's a lot of pain emotionally, mentally, physically that comes along with that path, right? You know, and I think anecdotally to that decision when Dr. Park said, hey, dude, you need back surgery, an extensive back surgery. In that moment, Cody, how easy would it have been for me to stop eating well, to stop exercising, to stop making myself better in any capacity? Because woe is me, I'm broken. Look at me, feel sorry for me, feel bad for me, and work at home in my friend circle, wherever. It's just, it's an easy choice to make. And so many people take the path of least resistance.
Right. Because it's all staring you right in the face. It's the easy choice is to be the victim. And in your particular situation, like, you know, I'm about to have significant back pain. I might as well eat a ton of ice cream and feel good before getting into the surgery. Right. But the question is did you?
No, because that sets A, I can't identify, like I said, and B, that sets the condition for what's going to happen after my surgery. If I went into this with a victim mentality, and if I went into this eating poorly, the first thing I'm going to crave when I wake up is going to be a cheeseburger. The first thing that I'm going to want is a little bit of ice cream. But because I've been intentional about my resolve and I've been intentional about those choices that I can make leading into this thing, I'm going to wake up And I'm probably still going to want a cheeseburger, Cody.
Right.
Because I won't be able to eat anything after midnight, and I'm on an all liquid diet today. So, you know, I'm in the suck a little bit. But again, it's my choice to do this. I could not do it and I could get away with it and it would be okay. But it's my choice. And I'm going to wake up and I'm going to want that cheeseburger after surgery, and I'm going to say no to it. And I'm going to ask for you know, a protein and some vegetables. Because I know that every single choice that I make after surgery, starting with the very first one, is going to dictate how quickly I heal, how well I heal, and what kind of condition I am when I can get back to doing the physical things that I love so much.
Well, and talk about that for just a second too, because choices, whether good or bad, if you start off making a good choice, what is the likelihood that the next choice you're going to make, that you will make a good choice, and the choice after that, that you will make a good choice, versus as soon as you make a bad choice, how easy is it to then slip into the bad choice on the next one? Talk a little bit about that cascading scenario that you can experience.
Yeah, it's compounding is really what it boils down to. And series of choices end up becoming habits, and habits mm-hmm. become lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
And all it takes is that one. And look, for our listeners, for anybody that knows me, look, I like a gin and tonic as much as any person on the planet. I like bourbon. I like pizza as much as anybody on the planet. And I don't deprive myself of those things because I know how important it is to my life and to sustainability of wellness, right? But I also know that too many of those bad decisions leads to a habit of that, and that becomes your lifestyle. You know, so if you choose to make those positive changes, and if you choose to, you know, start eating well or start exercising, and the next day it's another choice, and then another choice, and another choice, and another choice. And after, what is it, Chris Voss, I think he says it takes 57 interactions for a new habit to become ingrained in your mind. And here's the cool thing. It doesn't, you know, people talk about 21 days, I think, to form a new habit, but that's not the case. It's the number of interactions and the number of choices that you get to make. And you can do that in a week if you want. If they begin to compound on each other, and if you set your resolve and make that who you are through a series of choices, then that, again, that is going to lead to a healthy lifestyle.
Right. And so good choices breed good choices, mm-hmm. bad choices breed bad choices. And that for the lot, a lot is about what the upward spiral is all about, right? Making those good choices, putting those things into effect in your life so that you have upward movement. Now, what I would love for you to talk about next, if you would please, because you talk about two different scenarios relative to your surgery, right? You talk about this situation where you're sitting in front of the doctor and they're looking at the results and they say, dude, you need surgery. Like, that's it. Okay. There's information that's being given to you at that moment. Then there's the situation of, you know, the surgery is going to occur on, you know, July the 28th, which is tomorrow, right? You know that's coming and you've got weeks to look ahead of it. So you know what that's going to look like afterwards, and you have time where you can anticipate what's going to happen and you can work to make some decisions in advance. Now, we're talking about two different things. There's reactive, then there's proactive decision making. So talk about the mindset involved and choice involved with receiving information at that moment, and then talk about it in the looking forward to a particular date standpoint. You know,
we joke about violence of action and decisive decision making, but that's how I'm wired and that's who I am. So as I was sitting in Dr. Park's office and he was presenting me with this information, there was no other choice. And at that moment, it automatically flipped from I'm receiving to now I have to figure out, I have 4 weeks between today and when they're going to split my back and my stomach open. And I know what I want to get accomplished in that time frame. Mm-hmm. And so I automatically, now I know the end state, and I can begin mm-hmm. backwards planning, and I can break things down into family buckets, professional buckets, physical wellness buckets, and I can start to kind of stratify my life a little bit and start working backwards and the decisions and the plans that I know that I need to have in place in order for when tomorrow comes around that I'm ready to go. And more important than me, Cody, my family's ready to go. And more important and equally important to that is that my colleagues at work and the customers that we have are going to be okay, because we knew when that date was and we backwards planned and we made decisions leading up to that date. And so the team is going to be good to go.
Right. Well, so what I'm hearing from that, or part, let me just say this. Here's what I'm not hearing. I'm not hearing that you got this information and you took a little bit to have like some sort of self-pity, right? You didn't do that. You didn't say there was no why me? Oh me, this is too bad. This sucks. Like you're saying you didn't have it, or if you had it, it was really, really quick and it was gone. But what you did in that is you basically said, this is my reality, mm-hmm. right? This is my situation. And so the what you immediately then jump to is action-oriented steps relative to your reality. So let's shine a light on that just for a second, because that's, I think, very important that you didn't take a moment to go through all this process. You just said, this is my reality. Now let's start taking action-oriented steps towards this and setting the stage for success. That's just like you said, that's who you are. That's practice, and you just jumped right to it. So talk a little bit about that if you can.
You know, I it would be a bit disingenuous to say that, you know, I didn't have those, a little bit of those self-pity moments, but, you know, those happen in the dark recesses of your mind when you're restless at 1 o'clock in the morning. So, but it, you don't let it define you. I didn't let it define me and make that who I was. I accepted the fact that this is a hard thing to go through, and I pushed forward with it. So when I was in the office, when he told me that I needed surgery, man, 16 years ago, or actually almost 20 years ago now, I signed the contract, dude. I put the parachute on my back. I rucked and did all the deployments on my own. Nobody held a gun to my head. You know, I'm the one that chose to deadlift 650 pounds. I'm the one that chose to squat what I, you know, to work out in the capacity that I did. So life is a series of choices. I made those choices, and sometimes inadvertently it gets you to a point where I was, which is surgical intervention on my back. So, okay, got it. There's no time to dwell now, because I think of the people that I'm negatively impacting by me wallowing in my sorrow between the date that I found out about my surgery and the 28th of August when they're going to split my back open. So for me, wallowing in self-pity is hurting the people that I love and care about the most. And I refuse to do that, because again, you can draw the parallel to my pain isn't their problem. So it's not fair to make my weakness and my inability to cope with my reality their problem as well.
Right. But it's good to hear you say this, though, because to me, as like I like to consider myself a pretty strong guy, and it, you know, I subscribe to the it, you know, my problem's not your problem. You know, when we talk about that, like I struggle with that as well, and the whole I'm fine kind of a thing. But something that's significant as this, I would say that it certainly would be fear inducing, right? And it would be like, oh my gosh, oh, this sucks, right? And so I'm glad to hear you say that you actually did feel that, because otherwise, like, man, how do you, like, you're not of us, like you're a different, right. you're a different person. So the fact of the matter, though, is that it did exist. Mm-hmm. It's there. And fear is a very, very potent voice inside of your head. But what you're saying, though, and this is through a lot of practice and a lot of action, is you didn't give it ground. You didn't give it traction. And that's because, and you were able to switch over into acceptance of this is my reality, and then start working onto action-oriented steps so quickly, because you've put these things into practice and you make this choice. It's a conscious thing. Even when information is sprung on you, you still get into that habit, as you talked about, through practice and exercise of your mental state that, okay, this sucks, but I signed up for it. I registered for this. I knew what I was getting myself into. This is the consequence. So now let's just start going through this series of steps as to how to mitigate this in my life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to acknowledge that. And look, you know, I talk about the toughness and I talk about the mental fortitude and things like that. But it's also important to note that I was vulnerable with the people that I trust enough to be vulnerable with. You know, there was a night where I laid in bed and you know, talked to my wife about this and shed some tears about it. And mm-hmm. that doesn't make me weak. That no, doesn't make correct. Me, you know, that doesn't make me anything other than human that has the same amount of fears as anybody else. But what I didn't let that fear do, what I didn't let that negativity do, was drive decisions or allow that to become my default mindset. I'm not a robot. Nobody listening mm-hmm. to this podcast is a robot. I don't care mm-hmm. what your upbringing was. I don't care how tough you think you are. You're not a robot, and you're going to go through it. And that's okay. It's important to go through it and acknowledge that you're scared, to acknowledge that you have these negative feelings. Otherwise, they're going to hit you like a bus when you mm-hmm. least expect it. If you acknowledge it, and if you deal with it, and if you make that part of the decision-making process, then you can live with it, and you can just accept it as a dynamic, as a variable in the equation. But if you bury it and if you repress it, I promise you, the majority of the people listening to this podcast, they're not tougher than me. Right. But I've had these things hit me like a bus before, and hit me like a wave, and you're unprepared to handle them. And that's the kind of stuff that damages relationships in your life.
Right. So I think that's extremely important to point out, because you're human and you feel these things, and you give yourself a chance to feel these things, but you don't let them take hold and govern what you do going forward. So let's talk then about the go forward side of this. Like I said, there's the reactive and then there's the proactive. So you're going forward with this and you're already talking about what it's going to look like for you on the other side, you know, waking up, right? So you are making decisions today about how you're going to act tomorrow relative to your mindset, correct?
Absolutely.
Cool. Talk a little bit about that. How do you do that? Why do you do that?
So how do you do it and why do you do it? That those are great questions. You know, for me, it's about repurposing your energy.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, you have 2 minutes to talk about this because we got 20 minutes. So get at it.
Right. So those who know me know that I'm a planner and I like to make decisions ahead of time that are going to impact my future. So I know that I'm going to take that same amount of energy that I put towards my physical wellness and I'm going to change it a little bit. And I'm going to swim, Cody, and I'm going to do yoga. And those are going to be my outlets to make myself better. But at the same time, and we touched on this in an earlier podcast, I'm going to take that same intention and same effort and choices that I put towards, you know, being physically well and being big and strong and put that towards letting the people in my life that I love know how much I love them and not take those types of situations for granted. Because one of the things that this teaches us is that, you know, the things that we think we know are concrete can change overnight. The how and the what can change overnight, but the why should never change. You can repurpose it a little bit, but I still know my why. I'm just going to reapply it in other ways towards getting better. Don't make no mistake about it. And that's a choice that I'm going to make is choose to get well and stay well every single day after the surgery through diet, through exercise, through therapy, through conversations, through connections, through relationships. But again, I'm going to put that same amount of effort and aggression, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. towards the relationship side of my life as well too, that I, you know, through my fault and other variables has been a little bit neglected.
Right. Right. Well, so, but let's focus on this though, because as we start to tie this off, because this I think is really important. Number one, you have a mindset on the backside of this that I'm going to improve. Okay. Now that's a broad statement, but it's all about context. It's all about relativity, right? You're going to improve relative to what you can do. And you're looking at this through the lens of what do I have versus what don't I have? What can I do versus what can't I do? You're not looking at this through what the negative aspects. You're looking at this through, okay, here's what is available to me. I'm going to focus my efforts and my attention on that and apply myself in those areas, physical, emotional, spiritual, etc., to improve and get better. So again, mindset, you're not looking at what you don't have. You're looking at what you have and you're going to apply yourself towards that to the best of your ability.
Yeah, it transcends domain. It transcends the physical domain. And allows you to improve in every aspect of your life and allows you to apply those same choices, those same decision-making process and that same level of intention to every element of your life.
Right. So where you have this significant surgery right in front of you that you're going to be practicing this mental state of constantly improving and making these choices, making the hard decisions, making the right decisions, which the hard decisions oftentimes are right in line with being the right decisions, right? You're going to continue to do that because you choose to do that. So anything else you want to say before we close it out here, Devin?
No, I think we're good to go. Just, you know, understand if you're listening to this, we have the choice to be the victors or the victims day in and day out. And the decisions you make at 5 o'clock in the morning when you wake up are going to drive whether you're a victim or your victim throughout the day. Those choices that you make when you come home and you see your kids and your wife for the first time that night, if it's been a hard day, that's going to drive whether you are a victim or a victor. Be a victor every single day. Use that mindset, drive towards it. And then that way, if you run into a short-term obstacle similar to what I am now, it doesn't change who you are. It doesn't Excellent. Change who you are. So Excellent. Appreciate it.
Devin, good words. I appreciate it. Thank you very much here as part of the Upward Spiral podcast, the Updraft. Let's put a bow on this. Thank you very much, sir. Good luck tomorrow. We'll talk to you on the other side.
Always a pleasure. Till next time, buddy.